Welcome back to Smell You Later, your favorite podcast about the things we like and the things we don't like.
Oh, we're doing this. Yes. Mostly the things that we like.
Mostly, yes. I had a really cool afternoon just smelling so much stuff with Redacted as to making a perfume.
Oh, yes. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, this is like fully news to me that I can't wait to hear. So tell the church.
It's so interesting to talk to someone who is deeply in the fragrance industry weeds, because they'll like pick out all the little bits of things and I'm just like, what? I don't know. It smells like leather. And they're like, but it's also this and this and this. And I'm like, yes.
Were you smelling notes or accords?
Raw materials. I brought over a bunch of scent references. Mm. So we were talking through that. But also smelling raw materials is really fun.
That's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer this or we can cut it out. But maybe not what are your references, but if you could describe the fragrance that you're creating, what is it?
Okay, so it's basically, the title is the same title as my book, Die Hot with a Vengeance.
Fucking iconic.
My visual cinematic brief was just a heist in a hotel room where you're burying a body.
A heist in a hotel room.
Yeah, and then after, it moves to a second location.
As they all do.
Yes. There's many locations.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the scent of damp earth and the scent of burnt rubber and tire tread and lipstick and cognac and the inside of a Birkin bag.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yes. A very debaucherous film noirish type of vibe.
That's so cool. Yeah. Ugh.
We shall see how it turns out.
Not oddly, some of those notes seem pretty abrasive, but when you stack them all together, it's like, no, that would work.
Yeah, I want it to be wearable, so it's not going to be that crazy, but I think it's more like in, I hate the word vibe. Why can't I think of a better word than vibe?
Like, I love the word vibe. Yeah. It's vibe.
I just think it's so overused.
No, it is. It's terrible.
Yeah. I just want the feeling to be ominous.
Of course you do.
Yes. Sexy, but ominous.
What is it? Ominous positivity.
Yeah. Everything will work out. You have no choice.
So funny. That's really exciting.
Yeah. Chic and ominous. That's how I want to smell.
Definitely.
Yes.
I love that.
That is the ultimate brief.
Okay.
Yeah. Expensive. Sick. Ominous.
I think, you're painting a picture.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. How cool.
Yeah, we shall see. But after about an hour and a half, maybe, of just smelling things, my nose feels scorched inside.
Oh, really?
It's like when you walk around when it's really cold in the winter and you walk around and it stings your nose to breathe. That's what it felt like. Yeah.
Oy.
Yeah. The whole rest of the afternoon, I'm like rubbing my nose. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
It's like the olfactive version of museum fatigue. It's like, I've seen enough. I'm tired. Get me out of here.
Exactly.
But enough culture.
I'm cultured enough. I tried that trick that somebody had told me to like neutralize your nose when you're smelling a lot, where just like you just smell your clothes and it does actually help.
Really?
Because you remember like in perfume stores or in Sephora, they would have coffee beans.
Coffee beans, yeah.
Which, as we've learned, don't do shit. It's just a different smell.
Did we learn that?
Yeah. Luca Turin told us that.
Uh-oh. Shut up.
Thanks, Luca.
Again, whatever we've said on this podcast is news to me.
It's new to us as well. But I was just smelling my sweater in between samples. And I was like, hey, that actually does help.
That's so cool. Do you think, I'm just advocating for the devil here, someone you definitely want to advocate for, do you think it's like a placebo effect?
It could be. It totally could be.
Because if not coffee beans, then what?
I think it's just like a different thing. Like a different thing. Mm. Because, I don't know, the smell of your shirt is much more neutral than like
coffee beans.
Yeah. I don't know. But
I love it.
After a while, I was like, man, people do this all day. That's crazy. That must feel so crazy.
Do you have a timeline of production and locking it?
We're figuring that out. I would ideally like to have it available by May, but it's a little, it's pretty tight. So
really?
If it happens in July, that's, I'm not going to cry about it.
Oh, okay. We'll talk logistics off
mic. Yeah.
Yeah. But
it takes a long time to do perfume.
Wait, we should, what are we doing? We should fucking document this. What are we like?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So like, turning.
Yeah, there's obviously the R&D period when you're going back and forth about what you want. Right. So that takes however long and takes someone to make a decision. And then after that, you have to make the formula, let it macerate. got to marinate for a little while, just sit there and be. And then manufacturing always apparently takes longer than you think it will. And then the bottling. That's the other thing with the bottle design is I'm like, I'm going to be doing all of this.
My question, wait, we should definitely be documenting this for something.
Yes,
even
should.
If it's just like a TikTok series. We may have to reenact your first meeting with him, but let me get a gimbal for my iPhone. I'll shoot it. I'm not even kidding you. Like me giving myself more jobs. What about the carton?
Oh, shit. Yeah. See, that's another fucking
Where's that
thing
coming from?
It's another fucking thing you have to think about.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah.
There are people who do this for you, but obviously they will be expensive. So I'm like, I have whatever's in my pocket and whatever potentially whatever marketing budget my publisher has, if they approve giving me money to do this, which I don't even know if they will yet. So as of now, it's out of pocket.
What you have are questions to ask and emails to send.
Yes,
because
exactly.
You're about to have a huge vat of a perfume and nowhere to put it and no way to send it.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. I'm also
when do
like,
you see him next?
He basically has to like bring me a contract to sign. He's got to figure out all the costs and stuff like that. Or the fees.
Can you figure out some things before you sign that contract?
Please? Oh, yes. Oh my gosh. Totally. Absolutely.
I said I was going to Chris Jenner you and I am.
I'm not just going to be like, boop, boop, here we go. No. All will be revealed. Yeah. As exciting as it is, I was like, wow, I never fucking want to be a business owner. Never. But I am also the type of person who's just like, throw money at the problem. If it gets too confusing, I'm like, I'm just going to pay the person who does it all to do it all.
Fair.
Because it'll probably come out looking better than anything I would have done anyway.
There are some things you pay off. True. And that's fine.
Design-wise, I'm confident in that. Just
you can do that with your eyes closed.
Packaging-wise, I'm like, what? Why? I don't know. But I've been looking at all the stock bottle shapes you can buy. I'm like, this is so fun.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Yeah. What shape? So yeah, that's very exciting.
Now I'm thinking about the documenting of it all.
The documenting of it all.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get WeTransfer to give us money to shoot it. Or so, one of those media tech companies.
As long as I can mic you both, we can figure it out.
True. Yeah.
But I'm not going in there with a fucking raw dogging audio.
No. Yeah. That sounds awful.
This just became a production podcast. Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway. I forgot where I was going to go from there, but.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Great. I'm sorry. I feel like my brain has melted. I'm trying to like.
No, my brain is fucking soup right now, man.
Scramble. I have actually gotten recently a shit ton of fragrances and I am slowly but surely working my way through. We always joke and we're, again, very lucky to be in this position to do what we do, to have people send us shit. But sometimes, and listen, having nothing to do to try does not bother me. I got a whole shelf of shit that I love. But I feel like I either have nothing or 20 things. It's okay. Now I'm buried in fragrance.
Yeah.
But it's a good problem to have, I realize.
I broke out one of my all-time autumn faves, Robert Piguet Eau Delice.
Oh, yeah. You do love that one.
So fucking good. I was walking around yesterday. I had a nice catch-up phone call with my cousin in the park, and I was wearing it. And like the whole time, I was like, I can smell myself this entire time.
I love
oh,
that.
Oh, my God. Like that shit, that projection on that is insane.
Yeah. It is always nice to go back to an old favorite, especially in the fall. It's old fave season.
Yeah. I had
not your exes, though.
No. Well, I did wear Bond number 9 Chelsea Knights a little while ago, and it just harkened me back to this time last year and what was going on in my life. And I was like,
oh my God, that happened to me this week, too. Yeah. What was it, though? Oh, bitch. You know what it was? It was fucking Byredo Black Saffron. Woof, man. Ooh.
Want that to smell more saffrony.
Yeah, I don't get it. It just smells purple to me, but it's so nice. Ugh.
Yeah.
Makes me mad. It's so good. I gotta get a bottle of that.
Also, 1996.
I'm on thin ice with them, so. Yeah.
What did you do?
Yes, 1996. All praise to the Most High.
Yeah. I have been wearing that too lately because I just.
Which is not discontinued. It's still fully on shelves and online. I'm like, who was clowning me?
What's going on? Maybe they're just like, actually, never mind. This is really popular. Why would we do that to ourselves? Because why would you do that to yourself? Why would you take an extremely popular bestseller and discontinue it? For what? For what? Literally. Burrito.
They were like, some loud gay with a big head won't shut up about this. Better keep it on shelves.
Scare tactic. You can only do it once.
Yeah.
Can't pull that ship up again.
Yeah, exactly. You were before I did, but I am working my way through said shit ton of scents. And relevant to the episode today. We're not getting into it quite yet, but I really enjoy Guerlain Tobacco Honey. So nice.
Really nice. It's really,
this
really
would have
nice.
Been gorgeous to have in my honey era.
Yeah.
Which is this time last year, speaking of.
Yeah.
But God, it's just so smooth and beautiful. And you really get the honey too in a very just like satisfying way.
Yeah.
You know?
The tobacco really stands out to me with that one.
It does. Like yeah. you said, it just like is what it is, mm-hmm. but in the best of ways. That was yeah. just like such a lovely plush scent. Oh
yeah. I do, so yeah, good. But something, I feel like I haven't really, of all like the tobacco scents that I've smelled, honey is usually not involved. So yeah. it's really interesting to have that juxtaposition of this sweet nectar scent
yeah.
with something yeah. kind of like dank and sharp and mm-hmm. I don't know.
For it really does balance it out too. You
yeah,
know?
It's a great balance.
It's funny, when I was in my honey era, Killian has a lot of yes. scents with honey, like two or three, and they sent them in, all lovely, all really beautiful. But I mean, you know what a Killian scent is. It's trying to fight you. And the honey was in there for sure, but it was, you had to talk yourself into it. And it's nice to put this on and be like, oh, damn. Yeah, like, you're right. Tobacco honey. So
yeah.
I don't know. Excited to talk more about that later.
I received this insane elaborate mailers are back, guys, apparently.
Yeah, I saw.
Basically just like this insane lighting fixture mailer that was like this box of doors. It was like a Pandora's box with little LED lights containing two scents from this brand, Future Society.
Yeah. And they're new, right?
They are new. Their whole thing is that they have sequenced the DNA of extinct flower samples.
Oh, that's them.
Yeah.
They kept emailing me and I was like, girl, get out of here.
Sounds interesting.
To who?
To me.
Okay.
But the scents, they only, okay, so they have a lot of scents, but they only sent two in this really elaborate mailer, which I thought was, should have been the other way around. Like a less elaborate mailer, but containing all of the scents. That would have been great.
Or a discovery set.
A discovery like, set would also.
How many scents are we talking?
Six.
Okay. All right. Fine.
But to send two out of six, I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Also, they have like a sustainability report section on their website about the carbon emissions and the waste impact. And I'm like, you just sent me like a cuckoo clock. What are you talking about, carbon footprint?
Yeah. Is the sustainability in the room with us right
yeah.
now?
Yeah. That was a bit, huh. It was a cool display thingy.
Yeah.
And I'm already like, how do I repurpose this so I don't have to feel guilty throwing it out? But now it's like that Kanye tweet when he's
the
like,
The water bottle.
Now I got to think about this. Now I got to look after this water bottle. The two scents they sent me was Haunted Rose and Floating Forest. And they're nice. They're okay. nice. Haunted okay. Rose, again, I'm not the girl to send the rose to, but I am the girl that got the rose. Yeah. It's like a pretty classic rose. It has that thing that always strikes me sideways where rose perfumes sometimes smell like citronella to me.
Oh, okay.
So it's like that really jammy saccharine rose. But it's, if you like rose, you will probably like this one. And then this is me upsetting the format right now because it's the scent that I'm wearing.
Should we just go into it? I feel like we're there.
Let's go into it.
Okay. Sable, what do you smell like today?
Funny you should ask. I smell like Future Society Floating Forest. This is actually, it's cute. This I do actually like quite a bit. It's meant to be obviously a very green, fresh scent, which it is, but there's something about it that it smells like, stay with me, the artistic olfactive interpretation of pebbles after the rain, because it has this kind of like this smooth stone and like a mossiness to it. That's really nice. Like, it's not overly green. I feel like it's like a mixture of like aquatic and green and a little bit earthy. Overall, I feel like most people would smell this off the bat and be like, oh, wow, this is really figgy, because it has that figgy texture where things are round and sweet and creamy, but in a green way, not in a fruity way.
I think you give people too much credit for how they think about fig. And I say that with
perhaps,
love. Because I don't even think about fig like that. But yeah, I hear what you...
It is like when I first sprayed it, I sprayed it without looking at the notes first, as I do. And I was like, oh, this is a fig scent. And I was like, oh, no, it's not. It's not supposed to be, but.
I love that name. Floating Forest is so good.
It's great.
It's cute.
Okay. What they call out is black pepper, bergamot, freesia, water lily, rose absolute, cedarwood, salted musk, whetstones. Aha! I called it. Papyrus and driftwood. Papyrus, that's the thing. Every time there's papyrus in a scent, it has that like soothing in a dry way, like a dry wood, a soothing dry wood.
Yes.
But this is a beautiful scent. And it's very, I don't know. It's clean, green, fresh. I usually don't go for like fresh or aquatic things, but because it has the round, bouncy texture of the fig to it, I love it.
That's great.
And this is, I don't know what extinct flower it is made of, but...
Lies.
It's just like the Jurassic Park of...
Right, though.
I'm like looking at their website and I'm like, wait, which is it? What is the extinct thingy? Oh, it tells us. By combining the DNA sequencing with the expert of world-renowned perfumers, you've brought new life to the extinct Cuspidata. Cuspidata. Anyway, it's a tree endemic to Borneo. Cool. Last recorded in 1998.
Whatever, it died for a reason.
Yes, human intervention.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's interesting because I'm not sure if it's meant to smell like this tree or if it's just they sequenced the DNA and somehow made that ascent.
It sounds to me, since they tell you everything in it and it doesn't sound like a one-note scent, sounds like they're trying to work the idea of that tree into it in an accord sense.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound like they're trying to specifically literally emulate it. That's just me. I ignore the email, so don't take it from me.
Because they don't call it out when they list the notes.
That's the thing. And I'm like, where is it?
Where is the tree? What have you done to her?
Yeah, it does seem like a little bit of a miss on their part, but what do I know?
We don't know. Maybe we'll find out in the future. Who knows? But in the meantime, Tynan, what do you smell like today?
I was working on this fragrance piece for an editor that we like, and she sent over a list of thought starters. She was like, you can use these, but you don't have to. I know that you know what you're doing, but here's ones that I've saw. And there was one that jumped out at me when I looked it up. So today I am wearing Fame Parfum by Paco Rabanne.
Ooh, is this the new one?
I think the Fame franchise is new. It looks like a little robot girl wearing sunglasses. The bottle does. It's very cute. And they are doing that thing where it's like Fame Eau de Parfum. Fame Parfum. And I'm like, can we get like a tiny bit more creative here just for like differentiation? But I was looking this one up and I was like, now hold on, because the notes are as follows: mango, pink pepper, bergamot, jasmine, patchouli, fragrance scents, sandalwood, benzoin, and musts. But I said, now mango, what are you talking about? And man, it's so much fun.
It's fruity, right?
It's very fruity, but it's just very mango.
I think I smelled this on my friend Devin a while ago. Devin Abelman, when we caught up one time. And I was like surprised because she was like, it's Paco Rabanne. I was like, what?
This isn't the first, obviously, the first Fame, but it's just the newest. So she may have been wearing an old one. She may have been wearing this one. I don't know. Yeah. But I was like, let's just see how this goes. And it's just great. It is very mango forward, which I like. That's why I called it in. The rest of the notes are beautiful, but that could be any fragrance. But it's like, let me get that smell of this. And it really just does it. And had I smelled it without researching it and reading the build of it, I think I would still like it just as much. But I would be like, oh, what the hell is this? Because it's very different. And I also will say that the wear of it is really nice. I sprayed each wrist and my chest, but I was conservative with the way that I put it on my arms because mom turned this off, just got another tattoo. And so I was like, let me not. And still, it wore in exactly the way that I want fragrances to wear. It wasn't strong, but it was consistent. And I could smell it on myself all day because, one, you can't miss it. And it really clung to my skin where I put it. I really enjoy it. I just think it's a really nicely done fruity scent. Shout out to Paco Rabanne. Thank you for moving away from 1 million.
They will never move away from 1 million.
They're going to
make 1 billion.
I'm sure they probably already have.
Yeah. And this for the inflation, they have to.
Yeah. 1 billion for inflation.
They're doing like a, I think they're doing like a H&M capsule collection.
Oh, okay.
Fashion wise. And it's all very, those like big sequins that look like fish scales and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, that's just like y'all's aesthetic.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Okay.
people talk a lot of shit on those H&M designer clubs, but I'm like, let people afford things. My God, who cares? Let the mall girls have fun.
They're also like not that cheap. Like the Mugler ones were quite expensive.
They're pretty expensive, yeah. Have you smelled the new Tom Ford mystery? And I know I'm mispronouncing mystery because it's spoken in French, but I have. Yeah. And I get a little cagey when it comes to myrrh.
Because it's biblical?
Well, no, that's why I like it. But I love incense, but I've said before, incense I feel is sometimes like oud to a lesser extent where you put it in and it's like a very delicate balance of is this wearable or is this going to get in my head and rattle me? And I called this in because I threw it in the same piece that I was working on. And man, I was really impressed by it. It's just really nice. It's simply myrrh, sandalwood, vanilla, and musk. And it's a delicate dance that they're doing, but in a really lovely way. People have sold it into me as super vanilla forward, almost a vanilla first, and I don't agree. Mm. But I do think there's a heavy dose of it because the myrrh is really nicely tempered with vanilla and sandalwood that it really softens its edges and makes it almost leathery. Not really, but the wear is like that of a leather where it's really assertive, but really soft and textural and everything. I was really not surprised. Tom Ford does good shit, but
yeah,
I would love to see more fragrances like this that really do it, but don't beat you over the head with whatever hero note they're doing.
That's interesting. You know? Didn't Le Labo released a myrrh scent, I think, for their newest city exclusive, which I think was Shanghai.
Okay.
And the hero note was myrrh. So I'm like, what's with the myrrh?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's like, what? Who's getting this myrrh memo that's going around? Yeah.
It's giving birth at the Christ child.
I can never just accept this as coincidence. I'm like, no, something's afoot. Two big fragrance houses don't just release a myrrh forward scent at the same time.
I do think Tom Ford is, I could ask and check my facts, but we keep getting pitched Tom Ford fragrances as new and they're not. And I don't know, like,
they do not email me.
Okay,
I don't know her.
On that.
They don't send me shit.
They're very sendy, if you ask.
That is true. I think the last thing they sent me was the cherry collection.
Yeah, I
didn't like it.
No, you like the woody one or the smoky one, right?
Liked, but at the same time, if it wasn't free, I wouldn't care. I don't wear any of them.
I think if you're going to franchise Lost Cherry, either go a heavier in each direction or don't touch it at all.
Agree. Also, you could have done a black cherry or a white cherry or I don't know.
Totally.
Whatever. I'm not going to question Tom Ford, okay? He's like the Willy Wonka of like couture.
Yeah, he has bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. Anyway, so how did this episode come?
They emailed us.
Okay.
We use Shalmar as a reference on the show quite a bit because it is actually sort of a lot like Angel in what it did for the culture. You know what I mean? Yeah. It is its own tentpole fragrance.
Absolutely.
And it's super vanilla forward. It's super spicy and ambery. And I think Shalimar is a benchmark for a lot of scents that have come from it that have become benchmarks for other fragrances. So it's the start of a lineage in the same way that Angel was. And they've been doing some really interesting stuff in fragrance the past forever. But I feel like they're really reinvesting in their extraits because I've been seeing a shit ton of them. And when my best friend came to New York last year, he bought one. And so I'm like, well, if you're buying them, then I guess other people are. Yeah. And he got the cherry one, which is really nice. They sent me the double vanilla one a few months ago, which I really do like. Yeah. And then, but really this new aforementioned tobacco honey is doing it.
So the tobacco honey isn't extrait, is it?
Okay, yeah. Cool. That's what
I assumed all of them were, just because Guerlain, they deal in like capital P perfume. They're not fucking around. They're not going to give you some eau de toilette bullshit. They're going to give you capital B perfume. You're going to smell it to the grave.
They're like, no, you will be smelled.
Yes, you shall be smelled. Yeah, so that's what I always think about when I think of Guerlain. It's just like really strong French perfume.
Right.
I would be actually curious to smell the modern Shalimar, because obviously it's not going to smell like the original, because years and years of regulatory changes and tweaks. But
yeah, to do a side-by-side. I'm sure there's an original bottle exists out there somewhere. It's not going to be that hard to find. But that'd be a really good thought experiment.
What is interesting, and we obviously talked about this with Guerlain for a long time, and not that they realized what they were doing at the time, but like created the scent category of oriental scents, which
yeah.
are scents that are used to refer to things found in the quote unquote East, all the spices, the ouds, the vanilla, the cinnamon, the amber, all of the warm, spicy stuff that now every culturally we are in a reckoning of being like, maybe we should rethink some terms that are like, A, not relevant, B, don't help anyone to understand what the smell is, and C, iffy origins.
Yeah.
So what was interesting is when we had scheduled this episode, I looked at the website because I was like, oh, I should bone up on what Guerlain has been up to. And I noticed that on the Shalimar product page, they changed the word oriental to ambery. And I was like,
yeah,
finally.
Which is a slay. Yeah. Also, we talk about stubborn marketing departments all the time. And it's always a crapshoot whether they are going to pivot away from things like that. But it being the fragrance that started it, I do give them a lot of credit for pivoting their language, really, truly.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Not the simp for brands on this podcast, but really, when you told me that, I was like, all right, shit.
Yeah, I think because it's almost like when you remove a word and you put it in a different context, it becomes another word altogether. But at the same time, because of the history of the word, of the colonialism and imperialism, it's still that. Yeah. But ultimately, it just doesn't help anybody know what something smells like.
No, it doesn't tell you anything.
Exactly. It's not a floral. It's not a green. You have no idea what this is in the olfactory universe. So it does actually... Right. Logistically just make a lot of sense to change it anyway. But I was like, okay, this is optimistic. Cool. I like
You don't own a bottle of Shalimar, do you?
I do not. No.
No, neither do I.
I feel like I've definitely smelled it before, but either on somebody else or in some context, not on me. I don't think I've ever worn Shalimar, but I've definitely smelled it on other people.
Oh, that bottle is so cool. Mm-hmm.
But I'm always drawn to those types of scents of like deep, dark, ambery, spicy,
Same.
Warm scents. So obviously it's up my alley. But
today on the show, we have their perfumer, their creative director of fragrance, Delphine Jelk, to just give us a rundown about all of it. And I have to say, we have talked to, obviously, a ton of perfumers on the show, but this conversation took a different direction that I felt super inspired by and super refreshing. Yeah, it's not what I was thought we were getting into, but in the best way. So I'm excited for everyone to hear it.
Okay, well, let's get to it.
So I am Delphine Jelk. I am the creative director for fragrances at Guerlain. I'm a perfumer for many years now. I'm at Guerlain for 10 years, even if I've started working for the brand, for Guerlain, before being an in-house perfumer. I've been working for the brand for 15 years. And I am a creative director for fragrances for 3 years now, almost four.
Oh, that's so exciting. I already have questions about that. Yeah. But before we start, we'd like to ask our guests, Delphine, what do you smell like today?
I smell the extracts that we are launching right now because you know that I live in Paris and I'm in New York right now for a few days, meeting a lot of journalists and customers, and I've shared with them all the new creation. Anytime I do that, I put some fragrances, especially on my wrists. So here on my left wrist, I have the vanilla extracts of the new collection. Yes. But usually, you know, I don't wear perfume when I am working because it will disturb my sense of olfactory smell. It's better not to be perfume. And I also ask my team not to be perfume every day. But at night, when I leave the office, I put a perfume on and usually it's the best trial of the day. And I'm going to test it to see if I get comments when I go out for dinner, to see if it lasts on the skin. And also if I have a good projection, like we call it sillage. This is something very important at Guerlain. There is a strong DNA, like olfactive signature. But part of this signature, it's also a big sillage and a very enveloping fragrance. So if I have no comment of what I'm wearing, I think that I should move on working on it.
Oh, I love that. What a good barometer.
That's a great litmus test.
I feel like many of the perfumers that we talk to, they often don't wear any fragrance to the office, so it doesn't affect what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. That's very important to have the most neutral air around you and, of course, on yourself.
I'm curious, this is such a basic question, forgive me, but you talk about the sillage of the scent. How much as a perfumer and just as a person, how do you apply? Because we talk about this all the time and Sable and I go back and forth. I would love to know, as a professional, how do you apply your fragrance?
How do I apply?
How many sprays, where they at?
I usually put 2 sprays on my left wrist first and on the right one when I've used the left one. And I can do that during the day. It means that if I have something on blotter that is really relevant, I'm going to try it on the skin, because you can't do without skin, of course. And especially when you use a lot of natural ingredients in your perfume, it's really important that you smell it on skin, because the blotter is really not the best. I can also smell sometimes in paper glass where I put a tissue and I put a fragrance on it, like 2 or 3 spray, and I smell it like that, because it helps to have a bigger space to smell. You know what I mean?
I think I've seen those at the perfume labs. It looks like a Christmas ornament almost. It's like a glass orb.
Yes, and it's something that I don't usually do, but I've heard that the thing that is the closest to the skin is the glass. Ooh. So it's also a way to smell on, to spray on glass. It's quite good because, you know, blotters, it's good. I mean, if I made several tries to select the best one of between 10 blotters, for example, but it has a smell. So it's, you can use also glass. And what I love to do too is also perfume a t-shirt or some fabrics. That's good, because perfume on the clothes is really amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we have the official, the word from a perfumer. I love that.
I know, that really reminds me. My mother had a scarf drawer in her wardrobe that just had silk scarves, and the intermingling smell of all of her perfume on the scarves was just so heavenly.
Yeah, when it's that. Silk or cashmere, it's amazing.
We know that Guerlain has a very long history in fragrance and has created some of the most iconic scents that have really defined categories and shifted the industry. But I would love to know, from your perspective, what is Guerlain's perspective on fragrance, if you could sum it up for us?
It's true that Guerlain has a very long history. And in France, Guerlain is part of a lot of families. Anytime I have to reformulate a fragrance, because you know that we have still fragrances coming from 1853, which is the Cologne Imperiale, or Chalimar, Mitsuko, L'Or Bleu, that are really iconic for our brand. But sometimes we have to just reformulate them because of the regulatory and legislation. When it's the case, it's really difficult, because people are so attached to our fragrance that they really are like, oh my God, I don't want to lose my perfume. It's like stealing jewels to a French family to change their Guerlain. When I say that they are like Guerlain's family, it means that in the family, the grandfather, grandmother, the parents, the kid, everybody has his or her own Guerlain fragrance. That's why I've created La Petite Robe Noire. Maybe you know it. That's the first perfume I've made for Guerlain. And I was a young perfumer at this time. And I, like many French people, like most of the perfumers, I was really impressed by Guerlain, because for us, it's the best perfumer. It's the most beautiful perfume house in the world. And it's really impressive, yes. But I had this idea that Guerlain is for my mother or for my grandmother, but I couldn't find something that really talked to me. And I was thinking, a Mademoiselle Guerlain is missing. It's like you have a, but you don't have Mrs. Guerlain, but you don't have Miss, like Mademoiselle. Yeah. I had this idea, and I've got the chance to meet a person really dear to my heart, because she's an amazing woman. She was in charge of the fragrance development at Guerlain at the time. And she opened her door to me, and I've seen the movie Marie Antoinette from Sofia Coppola. I got inspired by this movie, because when I saw this movie, I was like, oh my God, this is Mademoiselle Guerlain, this Marie Antoinette. So with the historical part, and at the same time, she was so in her so modern with a pair of Converse, the girlfriend, and in Le Petit Trianon, it was time for goûter with La Durée macarons. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And I got inspired by this scene and I started creating an accord around a macaron, like a rose macaron with raspberry, with almond powder. Mm-hmm. And I wanted something, but maybe not punk, but at least very rock and roll. And so I add some black notes like licorice, patchouli, and the smoked tea, like Lapsang Souchong tea. I didn't want an Earl Grey tea too wise. And maybe neither vodka for a goûter, but smoked tea for me was the good balance. And especially it fit very well with the rose and those raspberry almondy notes. Mm-hmm. So I brought this idea to Guerlain and they loved it. So it became La Petite Robe Noire. So you understand that for me, it was like a fairy tale because it was not a brief. It was not, it was just something coming out of my art and it became a very huge success in France. It's still in the top 5 fragrances in France. Wow. That was big and that was something really, it's really just creation and passion. So that was my encounter with Guerlain. And even at this time, even if I didn't know Guerlain so well, I instinctively, I've used what we call today La Guerlinade. I had rose, I had bergamot, I had tonka bean, I had vanilla, I had orris. All these notes that we call La Guerlinade. And I was so happy because it was a bit disruptive for the brand. But at the same time, some woman wearing L'Heure Bleue at the time, they changed for... So for me, it was really emotional because it meant that I've achieved to create a real Guerlain. And it was... I was impressed because I was very young.
Yeah, that's such a cool story because I feel like both personally, Sable and I, at least I can speak for myself, that... I feel like so many people that we grew up with were very inspired by Sofia Coppola's Marie Antoinette.
Oh, yes. Very.
And with the Y2K and the post Y2K pendulum swinging back around, I've seen that come way back into fashion again. Everyone's referencing it and talking about it. So I feel like that fragrance is more relevant than ever. That's such a great story.
Yes, this was really great. But you know, I'm very visual. I think it's because I come from fashion and I've always made like mood boards and I love all that is about beauty and what makes you feel good. And I'm very sensitive to art, to fashion, so I need colors, I need words, I need textures. And that's what inspires me every day. And it's true that Sofia Coppola universe is so rich and so inspiring that I could do a perfume anytime I see one of her movies.
Yeah. I'm sure.
You should do a collab with her.
Really, though?
Yeah. I feel like she'd be open to it.
Definitely.
Well, I think she lives in Paris, no?
Right.
I think she married a French guy.
Yeah, I'm sure she has an apartment there. That's so funny because when I think of Guerlain, I always think of the visual of the bees and honey.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that was the Guerlain imagery. And I was wondering, what's the significance of that iconic imagery?
The bees is very important. And I'm so happy that today we really show it because some brands try to steal it from us. It's not inspiring just for Guerlain, but for Guerlain, it makes a lot of sense because Bee Bordeaux that has been created for L'Impératrice Eugénie at the time, that was a gift from Napoleon, her husband, for the wedding day. With the perfume Eulogne Impériale. And there is 69 bees on this bottle. And this bottle is still very iconic. I can tell you, I have some of them in my bathroom. It's so beautiful. I love them. It's really special. And it's, for me, the perfect vintage bottle. And so the bee is a symbol for the house since the beginning of Guerlain. Mm-hmm. I mean, 1828, the Napoleon and Eugénie wedding in 8. So I think that the commitment of Guerlain for bees, it really makes sense because we need to be very careful about biodiversity. We know that these are essential for biodiversity because no bees, no flowers, no fragrances. So it really makes sense. We have also at Guerlain this beautiful line of Abeille Royale using honey. And honey is something very inspiring for me in perfumery, because till now we had like honey notes like molecules, but not always very pleasant for the nose and can be a bit animally and caustic, we say that. Mm. When you get the products you use to clean, nourish the wood, it has mm-hmm. this beeswax, waxy, not that good. The beeswax, absolute, of course, that is also very animalic. We did in the sustainable program, Women for Bees, we've decided to install beehives in the south of Italy, in Calabria, where we have our bergamot producer, and we installed those beehives. So we have very citrusy honey, because the bees gather all the flowers of the citruses around, like bergamot, mm-hmm. orange, lemon. So the honey is very citrusy. And I really wanted to have a raw material that smells truly real honey. So with this producer, we tried to make a raw material from it, and it worked. It's a bit technical, but we diluted honey, the honey we obtained, in alcohol. And it goes on an absorption column that kept the aroma molecules of the honey. And we obtained an amazing quality of honey. And we just did the same with our partner in Grasse, in mm-hmm. south of France, where we have roses, tuberose, verbena, and we have also beehives there. So my idea is to have, like Alain Ducasse for the dessert, he has a honey cellar, and I would love to have also a honey cellar. So a honey from roses, a honey from citrus, so I can use different honey in fragrances. And that's what I did with tobacco honey. Maybe you have smelled it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one's so delicious.
It's gorgeous.
And it's a gorgeous scent.
As blonde tobacco has honey notes, I was thinking that it fits perfectly, this sesame, chocolate, tonka bean note. The honey is really special in it. It's bees and honey. It's something it's very important at Guerlain. And I guess it's just the beginning.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny. I never thought about that, but you're totally right. No bees, no flowers, and no perfume. Right.
Yes.
They're like the collaborators of the perfume or the bees.
Yes, we absolutely need the bees. And I think that to worry about biodiversity is, for us perfumers, it's essential.
Yeah.
But it's good right. that Guerlain is part of it. I'm very proud of that.
Sable and I both were really impressed by tobacco honey. I think mm-hmm. I just wore it for the first time this week, and she wore it before I did. But I love a honey fragrance, and I think honey in perfumes is wildly underused. But just the way that it is so smooth and balanced, and you get the honey, but it's not super literal. There's something about it. It's just really nice.
Wow, thank you. I'm happy you like it.
Yeah, it's really lovely, because you're right. I don't really see honey so often in fragrance, mm-hmm. but when I do, it's like a very candied, like a very sugary, sticky, sweet honey. But something about mm-hmm. the mixture of the tobacco with this honey is just, it's earthy and smoky, and it has mm-hmm. that edge to it, but it's still like nectary and warm. I love it.
It's exactly what is l'art et la matière. In l'art et la matière, I always choose ingredients that are very special, that have a strong feeling with them, but I want to go further, creating new harmony, something very unique and intense mm-hmm. with a strong personality. So it's a bit of love or hate, but I think it's good, and it's really a parti pris.
Mm. So cool. We know that Guerlain in their collection has a couple, franchises, collections within the fragrance, like the extracts that we were talking about, and the aqua. Thank you. How do you, when you're developing your fragrances, I guess maybe do you want to walk us through some of your favorite collections and what separates them? And then when you're developing something, do you know which franchise it's going to go in? Are you developing it specifically for one or the other?
Oh, yes. I always think about what I want this fragrance to be, because I start creating when I have the story in my mind. And I'm not just into the fragrance. I love that the products make sense. I love the products. I think that it's the bottle, the name. I can give you an example. When I have an idea, before I send the formula to my lab assistant, I need the name. And since I don't have the name for it, I can't send it because it's very important. So it's really a multi-sensual, something very, yes, it has to be, to have a name, a texture in my mind, a color. It's all important. It has to be coherent, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I'm creating, for example, for Aqua Allegoria, I love this collection as well because it's for me a way to celebrate the wonders of nature, but in a very happy way, a very light. It's for me, it's Aqua Allegoria, it's a happiness therapy. You know, it's a feeling good therapy. Mm-hmm. It's really the way of, it's just magnify some ingredients that are good for you. So when I think about bergamot, if I take the example of bergamot calabria, bergamot is good for you. It's very soothing for your mind. It's relaxing. And at the same time, it has something very vitaminic. And so I want to express this, how I'm really into aromacology. I truly believe that perfume is really good for you and good for your mind. And it has a huge impact. I took a lot of lessons of aromacology to very well understand what happened in the brain. And I think about that. Or I love also to have, for example, when I've created the ginger picante, I was thinking about this ginger that you can have in your detox juice. And I wanted the same effect that you can feel on your body, on your mind.
Yeah.
So that's, for me, it's a very holistic collection. Thinking about ingredients that make you feel good. So it's, and we will go more and more in that feeling good therapy of Aqua Allegorias. It's really aqua that makes you feel good.
Yeah, there's so much. We've noticed that there's so much more cultural interest in wellness and well-being. Mm-hmm. And the fragrance industry has really started trying to cater to people and things that will make you feel more relaxed and help you de-stress and just contribute to your whole being.
What is amazing with that is that maybe 20 years before, when we some brands have made aromacology sense, but it was just writing on the bottles. But now we can really prove that it has an impact on your mind. And since we can prove it, I think it makes it very interesting. And it's an alternative to other way to feel good. But I love the idea of you putting your fragrance and feel better, feel good. And it's not just about self-confidence or seduction. It's really about feeling good in your head, like being relaxed and feel good. Yeah.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, my mood is absolutely affected by scent. I was having sinus issues the past month where I just couldn't smell anything. Uh-huh. And I just felt like I was like living in a simulation. As soon as everything cleared up, I think the first thing I smelled was just the air. I was just walking around and just being able to smell the atmosphere. It was like the whole world just came back into color for me.
Yeah. And I think it's very hard. Some people who can't smell feel very sad and depressed. That's hard. And maybe you've smelled the three new woody fragrances in the Aqua Allegorias: Rosa Palisandro, Oud Yuzu, and Vanilla Bosca.
Oh, I don't think we have, but they sound
gorgeous. Yeah, I don't think we have smelled those.
I love vanilla and Sable loves yuzu. So.
Yeah.
okay, great. So you should smell those because that's a way to extend Aqua Allegorias, because it was really about fresh fragrances till now. And there was a way also to celebrate nature's and those wonders of nature with woods. Mm. And I love the idea of creating a fresh wood in associating with yuzu, because wood today, it's really, wood is a sacred wood. It's truly, it's amazing raw materials, but it's very often very woody, dry and leathery, but it can be treated differently. And with the yuzu, you'll tell me when you smell it, but I love to creating this fragrance because it's like giving something a bit mischievous in the wood that is sacred. And I love that.
Yeah, I love oud, but depending on how it's used, it can really be like, oof.
Yeah, but yeah. You will see it's totally different. And it's a different way of creating with wood. And that's really nice. Or for the vanilla, for example, I don't create a vanilla like in L'Art et la Matière, Voix, Aqua, Allegorias. So I made a salty vanilla. The name was Vanille Salé.
And now that's so interesting. Vanilla.
But my name was Vanille Salé. So it's a salty vanilla. So it's this idea of how wonderful it is when you are on a beach at the end of the summer. And so nobody's there, but you have still smell of the sun cream with like vanilla smell and the driftwood that have been like in the water for all summer with the sun on it. And the smell of the sea. I have a beach that I love in Corsica, and I got a lot inspired by this beach. It's called La Plage d'Argent. So it's a silver beach. Okay. And because the sand has this silver color, and there are like eucalyptus around this beach. And so you tell me, but it's another way to create around the Vatic note and salt. So it's sweet and salty.
That sounds so cool.
That does. I know. I've never really heard of anyone combining vanilla with a saltiness. That's so unique.
Yeah, you'll see. I love anytime I can go in. I have a story in my mind, and I like there is in general. I have my ideas, and I love the blank page. Mm. I have this idea. Maybe the first accord is like 5, 6, 7. Ingredients, and after that I start building. So perfumery is really for me about being creative, being sensitive to the world around you, being passionate, inspiring, but and after you get this technical part that can be you need to be really persistent and patient.
Yeah,
because you want a good sillage at Guerlain. It's so important. It's so part of what we call la Guerlinade, to have this huge trail and that it lasts long on the skin. Once you have your idea, you're not done.
It's funny. I feel, Sable, like we have talked to many perfumers on this show, but you are striking me as different because I feel like you have a very emotional and imaginative approach about the way that you create fragrances and what you're creating for and the finish line you're trying to get to, where I feel like a lot of people that we've spoken to, for better or worse, are very clinical or very prescriptive and technical. And I'm sure you're very technical as well. But I feel your inspiration coming through the way that you speak about your work. And I just think I think that comes through also in the scent as well. Mm-hmm. It's just such a cool perspective that you have and refreshing.
I really believe in that, because I think that when you create with your heart and you love what you do and you truly believe in what you feel, I think that our clients, I hope they really feel the passion that I put in. And I truly believe that emotion is very communicative. So I absolutely want to be authentic and telling the truth about what I have done. And that's also amazing to be an in-house perfumer, because Guerlain really gives me the opportunity to express what I feel for Guerlain. I see my mission as reinterpreting the Guerlain signature. You don't create for Guerlain as you do for other brands, because it has such a strong DNA. But at the same time, when you create, you can't do, you need yourself. It comes from your heart and your point of view. And Guerlain, trust me for that. And I'm very happy. It's very important.
Yeah. I feel like because Guerlain has been around since the 1800s, it's such a huge historical brand that's been so influential in the entire fragrance industry.
Yes.
One of the most iconic scents that everybody knows from Guerlain, even if you don't know it's Guerlain, you know Shalimar. Everybody knows Shalimar. And it's a legacy scent that has created so many cultural trends from there on. And I noticed on Guerlain's website that they started describing Shalimar as ambery, which is great. And I'm wondering how, because obviously scent profiles back then and the tastes of the culture back then are very different from what we crave now. But how do you think the fragrance industry is evolving in the ways that it labels or categorizes its notes or scent families for today?
I don't really think about that because for me, we are already talking marketing when we talk about that. I'm not a lot into olfactive family. I don't think it's so important. I really prefer that with the bottle, in the packaging, you find from the perfumer saying, this is the tension I put in this creation. I think it's much more important than trying to do like mathematics, putting things in case. And I'm not really into that. But it's true that the Ambery family is really the one of Guerlain. Just why? Because you were talking about Shalimar and you write that it's, for me, when you smell Shalimar, you understand Guerlain's grammar. And for me, what we call like Guerlinade, so those six raw materials, bergamot, rose, jasmine, orris, tonkabin, and vanilla. Mm-hmm. Those ingredients that I cherish at Guerlain, that it's for me the true signature. It's always different proportion, of course, but that's raw materials that you find in all the Guerlain perfumes, sometimes not the six of them, but it's really what, and those raw materials at Guerlain have a special quality, huh? It's special sourcing, special quality that we try to, with the new harvest each year, try to keep this special quality that we have at Guerlain. It's really our DNA, and it's very also, a Guerlain perfume is very enveloping. It has this sillage, it's very enveloping. And the Ambery family is, as this is the olfactive family of Shalimar, it's the olfactive family of a lot of Guerlain perfumes. Since you have tonka, vanilla, you are in this very enveloping fragrances that are very us. And I like that. And especially vanilla. Vanilla is maybe the most iconic ingredient at Guerlain. Shalimar would not have existed. Maybe Guerlain would not exist anymore without this perfume because that was the audacity to use ethyl vanillin at the time in such a big quantity. This was a new molecule at the time because this molecule was created during the 19th century. And it's really, Guerlain is really about audacity, daring. When we try to do like the others, we're not good. It's really when we dare that we are us. And vanilla is really iconic. So it's ethyl vanillin and it's also a vanilla tincture. That is, you know, that we do everything at home. It means that creation, production, and even some raw materials like specialty. And this vanilla tincture, we buy vanilla beans, organic vanilla beans in Madagascar. We receive them at the factory in Orphan near Paris. And we're going to cut those vanilla beans in small pieces and put them in alcohol, in an organic alcohol, for 21 days. So 3 weeks. That's our recipe. That's a special savoir-faire of the house. And this we call it tincture. It's like an infusion, but as it's cold, we call it tincture, okay? And that's what I use now in Guerlain's fragrances when I do, I make a vanilla smell. So you will find it in almost all the Guerlain fragrances. So it's like tweed at Chanel. It's like Guerlinade. It's really, really our signature. And I'm very attached to it because I think also it makes me free in my creation. It's my red line. And using it, I know where I am. And, you know, since I'm a perfumer for Guerlain for so many years, I'm a Guerlain baby. That's really part of what I love. And my perfumery, of course, is very Guerlain.
Yeah. I feel like there's been a recent resurgence in vanilla. Like we've noticed so many more luxury artisanal brands are launching vanillas where they actually call it out. Because I think everybody's always used vanilla, but it's been a bit downplayed. And now brands are calling it out.
Vanilla, if one day you can smell our tincture, you have to come to Paris to my lab so I can.
Would love to.
All right. Done.
Give you a tour and I can tell you the lab, our lab in Paris is amazing. And it's really beautiful. And this thing, when you smell the tincture of vanilla, you really smell the bean. It doesn't smell just like cake in the oven. It's really about smoky notes, spicy, like almost clove buds, huge smell. It's leathery. It's a bit woody. It's balsamic. It's very faceted. So with vanilla, you can do a lot of fragrances. You can go with vanilla. It's everywhere. And mm-hmm. I think that vanilla is very universal also. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves vanilla because it has something very regressive. That's exactly what is perfume. Perfume is really about love. You know what? Because it's about your childhood memory. And when it reminds you something from your childhood that makes you happy, it's love. And perfume is also so important for, in a seduction way, mm-hmm. the smell of the person you love is so mm-hmm. important. And vanilla, at the same time, regressive and at the same time, so seductive and so sensual.
Yeah. It has that comforting familiarity. And then depending on how you use it, you can make it really sexy or you can make it really...
Exactly. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. Yes.
I love that vanilla is the cornerstone of Guerlain because we love it so much. And you know,
I can't believe I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow.
When I think of Guerlain, the one thing that comes to mind is that it's one of the most ultra luxury fragrance houses to the point where I'm like shocked when I see that they have these specialty artisanal made bottles that are hundreds and thousands of dollars. And there's always a customer for that, which is, it's so fascinating to me. And even the bottles themselves, like the way they're crafted and encrusted with diamonds, is just the epitome of ultra luxury. I think the most recent one, it was a Bouquet de la Marie, and there was I think, 10 bottles. It was $20,000, immediately sold out. Do you have any idea who is buying this perfume?
We have a lot of collectioners, people that collect, that are really passionate about Guerlain. And Guerlain, it's really a house of beauty. It's not fragrances that you buy because maybe you can't afford a bag or a dress or something. So it's really for a connoisseur and people who love beauty and fragrances, and also for people who love beauty, like beautiful bottles, because we have an amazing patrimony of bottles. When we want to create a new fragrance, we just have to go back to the archives. Can you imagine how inspiring is it? It's really amazing. And you have to, I don't know if you heard about that, but there is a bottle at Guerlain called the Turtle. And it's really a turtle. It's beautiful. It has been made by Baccarat. It's really beautiful. And you know what? It has been done because, how do you say that, the work to build the store many years ago was so slow that the Guerlain perfumer at the time thought about creating a perfume that is very slow, like a turtle.
Like a turtle.
Yeah. So you know how emotional it is? I love this kind of story. So we have so many stories about so many fragrances and bottles that I feel that people are very touched with that, and they buy our exceptional pieces like buying art, a piece of art. And that it is because we have amazing collaboration, and those bottles are just incredible.
They are. Sorry. I feel like they belong in there needs to be like a Guerlain museum or exhibit has all of them. It was the bees all along.
It's always been the bees.
I'm just picturing like a Wizard of Oz situation where Mr. Guerlain, the Wizard of Oz, it's just a bunch of bees in the form of a man. Who just rules
Guerlain is one giant bee.
Yeah. The Guerlain bee. The bee rules them all.
No, that was cool. It's neat that their newest X-Trait is honey-based, and that has much more of a legacy with the brand that I even expected. And I know, like you said, that there's bees and shit all over their bottles and their branding, but it's nice to understand why.
Yeah. I always just thought it was like a cult thing. I don't know. Something about insect iconography always reads culty to me.
For sure.
But that's actually really nice to know. When I think of Guerlain, I've always thought of the makeup, because the makeup was like,
really?
It reminds me of the early 2000s when they had, do you remember the powder that were the balls, the different, the
oh my
different
God, balls? Yes.
That was them. The Kohl eyeliners, that was like the stick that you drag on your waterline, which looks lethal. That was them. The terracotta bronzer powders, those were all the rage at the time. So my experience with Guerlain has always been through the makeup, never having realized that they're actually a fragrance house until much later. And then I'm like, holy shit, this is the bread and butter.
I don't know. There was a point when everyone had the Guerlain meteorites, the powder balls.
Yep.
I remember my mom had those on their vanity and her vanity. And I think that sort of concept has come back in the last couple of years, both the balls themselves and and I gotta stop saying balls. And also just having different shades of powder in the same compact if it's pressed. I'm not educated enough to know if Guerlain invented that or just made it ownable to them, but it certainly is. And so now whenever I see them, I'm reminded of sitting at my mom's vanity when I was like four.
I think, was it Physician's Formula that tried to do a rip of those?
I don't know. That doesn't shock me.
Some drugstore brand did a doopy doop about that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I wasn't really wearing powder back then. Also, makeup was expensive back then because I was a poor child, but that was the epitome of glamour with makeup, was the Guerlain meteorites.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think they discontinued the Kohl eyeliner. Probably too many people accidentally stabbed their eyes out, but.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah. But yeah, the fragrances have always been iconic.
Very, very. That was so good. It was so good to talk to her.
Yeah. Now I'm so curious to smell more of their collection.
Same.
The Yuzu one.
I would love
the vanilla.
The Antoinette one.
Yeah,
so cool.
I want to smell those vanillas.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you once again for listening to another episode of Smell You Later. You can leave us 5 stars and a nice little review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can visit our website at smellyoulater.live, where we have our merch, our hotline. You can follow us on Instagram at smellyoulater.np3. I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will...
Smell you later.